faith. And we're just going to continue a little bit further into this chapter. I'm going to read the first seven verses of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had his testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Faith. Of course, faith is a very important aspect of life in general. And faith, of course, here we're talking about faith in our God. And last time, as we began this study, we established that we have to have a faith in something. It has to be built on something. And, of course, we're looking about our faith being built on God, the one who is ever faithful, who never fails, and he never forsakes us. If we are to build faith, and we looked at that we must build faith, we need to build it upon a firm foundation. And in doing so, the seed of our faith will be rooted, will grow, and build our faith in the one who is the all-sufficient one. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So as we continue this study, we need to allow the word to build our faith. When I'm talking about the word, I'm talking about God's word. This word to build our faith. And it's in this chapter of Hebrews, the witnesses and testimonies of great men who had faith. By building faith, they saw God move in a mighty way. When we say they were great men, they truly were great men, but they were just men. They were men like men and women today. But because of their faith and their trust implicitly in God, they knew God's great provision. They knew God's plan being worked out in their lives. They, in a way, were instrumental in God's plan. And we'll look very briefly at that in a moment. So as we continue to look at this record, we can see a building of faith that spans from creation through Moses, and the writer concludes that time fails him to list the mighty acts that are of God. So we have this whole faith aspect from creation through and right up to today. At the beginning of chapter 12, we will look at another time, but just to read the two verses at the beginning of chapter 12, the writer speaks of the faith that we should endeavor to have. Verse 1 and 2 of chapter 12, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight that sit and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. From creation to now, we can see the thread. We can see the building of faith in many people's lives. And the faith is summed up in those verses, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. He is the one we build our faith on. As I said last time, there are many people who build faith on all sorts of things in this life today, in this world today. They're not things that are wrong, that are sinful. Some perhaps do, but there are things, like legitimate things. Our careers, our families, substance, possessions. They're not wrong in themselves. But when people build their faith and trust on those things, they pass away. But when we build our trust and faith in our God, who does not pass away, he is a firm foundation. As Simon began this morning, encouraging us to the reason why we come together is to worship our God. Why do we worship God? Because he's a faithful God. And we can see in this chapter that the writer of Hebrews has recorded for us, we can see that faith began at creation. And it's right through Scripture. The faith thread runs through God's plan to the point where Jesus died for you and for me, that we might build our faith on him. And I just want to encourage you this morning and to remind you that our faith is purely in our God. There are so many things in our lives that can perhaps, I don't know, unsteady us at times. Circumstances, things that happen to us personally, happen to other people, just unsteadies us for a while. But then we have to stop and say, no, our faith and our trust is purely and solely in our God. And so we build faith, or should build faith, in God. So in studying this passage, it is for the purpose of building faith, in order that we can see the power of God working in and through our lives. I do feel that we need to build faith. As we exercise faith, we can see God move in a mighty way. I just want to look this week at just a few aspects of faith that is a thread through the plan of God. And there's three people that we mentioned here, or mentioned in this passage from verse 4 through to verse 7. We have the plan of God preserved. We have the plan of God preserved during the flood. And the record spans 10 generations. It's approximately 1,056 years, with the average age of 865 years. So you've got plenty of time to go. We all have plenty of time to go. I don't know whether I'd like to live that long. It was spread over a long period of time. But let's look at three people: Abel, Enoch, and Noah. Abel. Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it being dead, still speaks. Abel. Abel was the second son of Adam and Eve, his brother being Cain. And both Cain and Abel offered a sacrifice to God. But it was Abel's that was received, or was declared to be a more excellent sacrifice. It was Abel's faith that caused him to offer an animal sacrifice. He had to offer it in faith, not knowing whether it would be acceptable to God. It was by faith he offered, and by faith it became a more excellent sacrifice that was acceptable to God. Indeed, this form of sacrifice was introduced by God himself when he killed an animal and used the skins to clothe Adam and Eve in order to cover their nakedness. If you remember the account in Scripture where they disobeyed God, they were put out of the garden. They knew their nakedness and God clothed them. And I believe it was significant that he killed an animal. Blood was shed in order for that to be a covering of their sin. This sacrifice was a faith sacrifice and was acceptable to God. The sacrifice that Abel offered. It was a sacrifice that took a life. A life given to give life, as we will see that thread up to the point when Jesus laid down his own life. It was Abel's faith in God that caused him to offer this sacrifice. However, it was to lead to his untimely death and the apparent breakdown of the line from Adam. However, God's plan was not changed. This sacrifice was an early type of the eventual sacrifice of God's Son. Just as God had taken an animal and killed it to cover man, so he would send his Son to provide for a covering for man's sin, to deal with man's sin, to clothe him in righteousness. In a sense, because of Abel's faith, we begin to see faith being built. What is it being built on? It's being built in God and on God. It was a sacrifice of worship. A sacrifice of worship to God. Abel's sacrifice was demonstrating his righteousness before God. The second part of verse 4, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and through it, being dead, still speaks. You know, God still speaks today. Whilst we look back at in Scripture and we can see the many generations throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we've now moved on some 2,000 years since Jesus' death, even though many are dead, he is still alive and he still speaks. God still speaks to us, to people today, as we build faith. We need to, in faith, bring a sacrifice of praise to God that is from our hearts. My concern often today, and I don't know whether it's because I'm growing older, perhaps it is, but my concern today is I love some of the worship songs and the worship we hear on tapes and so on. And when we see great crowds of people worshiping, it does your heart good. But maybe it's because I'm a bit, you know, I always question these things. I wonder how many are coming in sincerity to bring their sacrifice of praise to a great God. And perhaps we're all guilty of that. We come on a Sunday morning or throughout a week and we spend time perhaps worshipping. I'm challenged myself, is this sacrifice of praise to my God from a genuine heart of praise, heart of worship? And I'm not saying that much of the songs that are written today, amazing words and so on. But my heart is all that we might worship from a worshipful heart, from a thankful heart, that our sacrifice of praise will be acceptable to our God because he sees our hearts. We need to, in faith, bring a sacrifice of praise to God that is from our hearts. Though the sacrifice brought death, to the animal, yet it brought life. Jesus' death we have by faith because of the faithfulness of the promise of God. God had a plan. He knew from eternity past, and he had a plan, and he prepared that sacrifice for all. And so Abel, we see by faith, offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had his testimony that it pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Abraham's faith to walk with God ended with his translation. Did not die, but he was translated. His lifespan on earth was considerably shorter than those of that day, only 365 years, a mere child. He walked by faith with God. His faith was in God, and he was translated. What a wonderful testament that he had, that his faith was in God. He walked by faith with God. And in some ways, we all today walk by faith with our God. In some ways, because we cannot see God, he's not a tangible being. But faith, by faith we've received him. By faith we have known that wonderful miracle of salvation, that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus, and we can, by faith, walk with God. We won't be as Enoch translated, although maybe if we still remain when he returns, we will, in a sense, be translated. But we walk with God by faith, not knowing him, not seeing him, but knowing him in a spiritual sense, knowing that he is with us. And it is all by faith, and our faith should grow. Salvation is not by works, because it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. It's not possible to please him without having a faith in God. Salvation is not by works, but it is by faith. This is the basis on which we build our faith. It's not what we do in order to gain a bit more faith. But it is having faith in God that our faith grows. And we know something of the abundance of the provision that we have in Christ Jesus. We walk by faith just as Enoch did. I think it's essential in this age that we live, and this time that we live, it is essential for us as Christians to walk by faith. Because there is so much to distract us on every hand and side. There are so many things that are being presented to us. Plausible things, they sound very good. But our faith must remain in our God. And we should not turn from one thing to another. Our walk is by faith with our God. We are rewarded when we diligently seek him. By faith, we need to seek our God. Speak with him. Ask of him. Listen to him. The writer of Hebrews is drawing from the example that is drawn from the dawn of time. Men by faith received, walked, and diligently sought God, or that we might diligently seek him. You say, well, how do I hear from him? I can't say, I wish I could say, but I can't say that I've heard God's voice audibly. I've heard a voice, perhaps in my mind. But when we read God's word, by his Holy Spirit, he speaks to us. And I believe it's so essential to read God's word. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm reading God's word, I read it and I think, I don't know, I don't really know what that means, really. But then, as we read again and again, suddenly the Holy Spirit brings revelation. He speaks to us. We hear him through Scripture. That is not to say that we don't hear him by his Spirit in our lives, a prompting within our lives, that still small voice, however that's described, something that happens within us. We hear it through prophecy as God comes and speaks to us. So he does speak to us, and as we seek him, as we ask of him, so he will speak. And it is by faith we receive. Do we by faith seek him? Understand that he will reward. because he is a faithful God. Just as those mentioned in this passage were honored because of their faith, so we, because of our faith in Christ, we can and will receive of the great provision that is found in Christ because of the sacrifice that has been made for us. God's plan was that we might again be reconciled back to our God. As we see in these men, the beginning of God's final plan, we have our faith built because of the faithfulness of God to his promise. In the time of Abel, Enoch, and Noah, there was a need to know God by faith, and that God would provide a way of escape from destruction. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The initial faith act is that we come to God believing that he is God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. In Abel, we see the type of the sacrifice that would have been acceptable to God. In Enoch, we have the type of our translation, not seeing death and being caught up into the presence of God. And Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica to comfort them with these words in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15 to 18. All this we say to you by the word of God, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Enoch was translated. Abel offered a sacrifice. Enoch was translated. Surely our faith is built up with the promise that one day we will be with our Lord. In fact, Jesus himself assures his early disciples of the promise that we have and that we will be with him. In John chapter 14, another few verses that is often read in the funeral services. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Noah, the third one of these three men who are mentioned in this part of this chapter of Hebrews 11. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Remember the words in verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Noah here, it says, became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah had great faith, but this faith was linked to obedience. Abel's faith was linked to obedience in offering a sacrifice. Here we see Noah, and his faith is linked to obedience. God spoke to him. He said, I'm going to destroy the world. I'm going to destroy mankind. But I want you to build an ark. I want to save you. And we know the story. By this time, some 1,000 years from Abel, there were deep sinfulness across the earth. And God saw no other way than to destroy the earth. However, God had a plan. His plan from eternity past was not going to be disrupted. He had a plan, and he entrusted it to Noah's hands, the way for his plan to continue. Noah walked with God. We have that recorded for us in Genesis chapter 6. And the Lord said, the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. God saw Noah. Noah pleased God. Noah was used in God's plan. And it was by faith that Noah, in obedience, was used by God. Noah had to have a great faith in God. I don't know. Try and put yourself in his shoes. I see that he faced three things. He faced the almost impossible nature of the task that was given to him. The fact that it had not rained and there was no sea in the close vicinity. The fact that the people were constantly mocking him. But Noah's faith was a persistent faith. It had to be. It took years for him to build this ark. Then gather all the animals. Put up with the mocking, the ridicule from the people. It was an impossible task, but his faith was persistent. Challenged my heart. I trust it challenges your heart. Is your faith persistent? Does it continue? His faith in God was consistent in the face of adversity. Sometimes we face adversity, but our faith must remain. I don't know about whether you have any of the magazine, I'm just trying to think the magazine that comes to us, Barnabas magazine, where they report on Christians across the world suffering great tribulation. They face adversity, and yet their faith is consistent in their God. Why? Because they've built on a firm and secure foundation. Or that we might, not that we will know that same sort of persecution, but that our faith will be consistent, that it will remain. Our faith will be in God. It will not be turned. We will see God. We will not look to man, but we will look to God. Noah did not look at man. He did not listen to the mocking of the people. We could so easily today listen to the mocking of the people. Not necessarily in that audible voice, but in that mocking, in the same sort of tone when the enemy came to Adam and Eve and said to Eve, "Hath God said?" The question is often asked in the society that we live in, is there really a God? Or is it just one of other gods? There is a mocking. But all that our faith may be strong and secure in God. It may be consistent in God. Even as we face adversity in different sorts of forms, that our faith may be strong in our God. And that we might know his fullness in our lives. Noah's faith was based on the fact that God had told him to do this thing. And because he had faith in God, it enabled him to see the fruit of the faith act. So we see here where he was obedient to God. He had faith to build this. And then what happened? It was fulfilled. What happened? We see how God delivered him and his family and all those animals that he was told to collect. We see how God intervened. They were saved. They were delivered. His faith was not weakened by the things that had not been seen. He had not seen these things. He didn't understand what was going to happen. When God said he was going to flood the world, he couldn't understand it. But he was faithful. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. The promise that he had enabled him, because of his obedience, to be saved from destruction and to be heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. If you look at the genealogy, if you look at the line, that the thread through Scripture, these men were instrumental in God's plan. His faith saw his household saved and be the continuation of God's plan for mankind, for you and for me. Noah's faith was one of action and obedience. I think sometimes we are challenged in our own walk with God at times to step out in faith, not knowing, not seeing. But as we step out in faith, we see the fulfillment of God. I guess if we was to go around and ask testimonies of each one of us, I'm not going to do that, but if we ask testimonies of each one of us, there are times in our lives when God has told us to do something. It doesn't seem logical, it doesn't seem right, but we know it's the prompting of God. We have to know it's God and not ourselves. It's not someone else telling us. It's not someone else persuading us. It is God that's speaking to us. We need to know that. But when we do know that, and when we step out in faith, we know that God is with us. And we can experience the righteousness of God in our lives. Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Abel offered a sacrifice, a type of what was to come. Enoch did not experience death, but he was translated, a type of our resurrection and eternal life. Noah prepared an ark, a type of salvation from the penalty of sin. It is interesting to note that the instructions was to build an ark. And there's all sorts of pictures depicting what that looks like. And I was looking on the internet some weeks ago, and there was something come up, a clip. I think it was a YouTube clip. There's some guy in America who reckoned God had told him to build an ark, and he's building an actual ark to the dimensions of the ark, of Noah's ark. And he believes God has told him to do it. He's run out of money, so he's appealing for money to actually build this ark. I'm not sure. I don't want to be one of those ones who mock. But God told Noah to build an ark. He designed it specifically. And the instructions was to cover the ark inside and outside with pitch. This could be of significance. And this is perhaps where a preacher's license comes in. But I was just reading something which really struck me. And, you know, I think we have to be careful of imagery. We have to be careful of things. But this struck me. In the King James Version, it reads in Genesis chapter 6, verse 14, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without." Sorry, without, with pitch. The word pitch is translated from two different words, apparently, very similar, but they both have very interesting roots or root meaning. And the root meaning is to cancel, to make atonement, to cleanse, to disannul, to forgive, to be merciful, to pacify, to pardon, to purge away, and to put off, and to reconcile. The second part, or the other word that's often used, is similar. It's figuratively used, a redemptive price. A ransom. And I just read that and I thought, how that amazing that is. When we see the ark pitched from within and without. And it was to save the people of that day. And we come through the generations and we come to Jesus. It's not a physical ark. But he was the one who was to make it possible that we will know atonement, a cleansing, a forgiveness. From a merciful God, a pardon, a redemption in Christ. I don't know whether the two linked, but it just spoke to my heart, actually, God's plan is perfect throughout. And we see here, recorded for us in Hebrews, these men, Abel, Enoch, and Noah. And we see how God's plan was preserved. It wasn't by accident. I believe that all these things were part of God's plan. So then in the type we see something of the plan of God to redeem and to forgive and to pardon. And so to conclude, in a sense, God's plan for man relied on the faith of man in God. Our own salvation begins with us having faith in God and receiving the gift that has been given. We do not build an ark, but we do build faith in our God. When we consider the great faith of those who have been listed in Hebrews and many more, this surely builds our faith, which in turn causes us to exercise faith in the one who holds all things in place, who framed all things. Abel, Enoch, and Noah had faith during their time, and we see God's plan being perfected to the point of Jesus. And we today can enjoy what it is to build our faith on a living God, a living Saviour who is with us. Amen.